Today's episode of the Cantina is brought to you by Grow Generation. Whether you're at the Death Star or the Senate, they have everything you need to grow right where you are. More from them later in the episode.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Cantina here on the Genreverse Podcast Network, brought to you by LRM Online, lrmonline.com, every day for all of your entertainment news needs and opinions. The Genreverse Podcast Network is available, wherever you get your podcast from, and on YouTube now, Genreverse Podcast Network on YouTube. Please do subscribe, follow, share, thumbs up, down, comments, all that good stuff. Social media down below. I am one of the awful people that you'll be having to listen to for the next 30 minutes or so, Kyle Malone. I'm joined, as always, by Cam Clark and Shockey. What's up, guys?
Not too much.
Oh, good.
Good. I'm gonna start with the number one cliche I'm already sure of today, and we're gonna be reviewing the Mandalorian season 3 episode 1 today. Hey, I know you guys were expecting Book of Boba Fett, but
hey, that's
no,
just the way the cookie crumbles.
That is indeed. The last episode ended with Din Djarin's Mandalorian theme as Fennec's like, I know some muscle, and this episode kicks us off with Din Djarin and proceeds to just follow him until the very, very end. He helps rebuild his hot rod N1 Naboo starfighter, and then meets with Finnick and says, "Yeah, I'll take the job for free of charge." Which Christine pointed out is a dumb move. You never say it's on the house, because now they're going to be like, "Well, we need ship, we need ammo. It's 6 months of work." but overall, a lot of world building for the Mandalorians, both for what's going on now, but also for people like me who didn't watch Rebels or Clone Wars and doesn't know the kind of the new canon version of Mandalore's history and whatnot. I think they did well. Missed exposition this time ends up being the mechanic and junkyard lady from the Mandalorian, as well as the armorer. You can feel are heavy exposition. But it went well enough for my takes. I was pretty satisfied with the episode, but it's because it played out like the Mandalorian 100%. Shockey, what'd you kind of feel about this week's episode, man?
I mean, it was overall a great episode. I don't think Bryce Dallas Howard has done a bad episode yet in the episode she's directed. It was a different pacing, different story. It was kind of a good refresh. It was kind of I think for a lot of us, we're the grind of Boba Fett and where the story was going was kind of getting to us. So this kind of was like a breath of fresh air for something different. Seeing the armorer back and where, you know, the clan has relocated to, it's showing you basically there, what would they say? There was just three left of them, and that they were gonna have to rebuild. Going back to Tatooine, seeing all the little Easter eggs there with the, Beggar's Canyon, the Wampa rats that, you know, Luke said, him and Biggs used to shoot, you know, going through Beggar's Canyon. So like you had a lot of things going on through that episode that if you're a Star Wars fan in general, you enjoy. But then, like you said, if you've watched Rebels, then the scene where you see Din Djarin training with the Darksaber, there's a lot of similarities to that, where we see Sabine Wren carry the Darksaber, and how it's, it's not the typical lightsaber that everyone is accustomed to or used to. It gives it, you know, a little bit more, I guess, depth to that story. And it kind of makes me want a Tar Vizsla show now. Like, I would love to see that whole storyline and how the Darksaber came about. Like, give me a spinoff of that, or like its own show of Tar Vizsla, the Jedi, Mandalore. I'm good with that, like, to see that. Because for the two people we've seen wield, well, no, I'm sorry, three people we've seen wield the Darksaber, two out of the three, Sabine and Din Djarin, have struggled with it. Moff Gideon was able to use it with fair ease, you know. So we don't know, you know, that backstory of how he got it, how he trained with it, and, you know, where he comes from. But also, you know, just the kind of that aura behind it. So we had a lot of things going on there. And then we get the little, you know, Boba Fett part of the story with Fennec Shand showing up at the very end there, saying he needs a job. But it seems like the way the structure of the show is going to be now is that Din Djarin's going on his path, but then we'll somehow make way back to Boba Fett. So it looks like when Boba Fett ends, that's... we're going to have, I guess, Mando season 3, and then the end of Mando season 3 will have him come back to Boba. I don't know. It's a lot of questions still up there in the air.
Yeah. It's interesting what they got going on. Cam, what'd you think of this episode and the whole fact it's a Mandalorian episode?
I mean,
you know?
as Mike said, it kind of feels like a bit of a palate cleanser. In terms of, you know, it's unexpected. I don't think anyone I think we did expect to see Din Djarin. And even when he shows up at first, you think, okay, they're just doing an introduction to him, then we're going to get to, you know. But the more it goes in, the more you realise this is basically just Mando Season 3, Episode 1. And although we knew that the Book of Boba Fett was the next chapter of that story, I don't think any of us quite have expected it to go this way. So no. It's kind of difficult because it almost feels separate to all the other stuff that we're watching. And yet at the same time, I loved it and it was fantastic. Maybe that's because Mando's a better show than Book of Boba Fett. And maybe that's because I like Mando and most people like Mando more than we like Boba Fett. But that's because we've had time to get to know Mando when we haven't had that much time to get to know Boba Fett yet. So it is a strange one, and I found it strange to write a written review for this as well, and it not just feel like it was a review of Mando Season 3, Episode 1. But it is what it is, and, you know, it says Book of Boba Fett at the title of it, so if I'm going to rate it, you know, then I have to rate it based on that. But yeah, I absolutely loved it. Really, all the stuff Mike said about, you know, the different things, I would agree with all of that. I definitely, you know, you mentioned kind of exposition, and I definitely do seem to have a higher bar, you know, of what I can handle exposition-wise than some people before I get bored. So it really just didn't feel like that to me at all, because after that first...
the mechanics more than the sort of armor for me.
10 minutes, that just quite brutal 10-minute opening, which felt just very much back to that spaghetti western roots almost. And, you know, Mando using the Darksaber and just, you know, cutting down fools and hurting himself and, you know, cutting the guy in half, coming in with the head, you know, there's the head, you know. I mean, that was cool as hell. And by that point, you know, you're on the edge of your seat and the exposition just washes over you after that because they've got your attention. You know, it's like, boom, bitch. Yeah, you're watching now.
Yeah.
Let's throw the rest of the stuff in. And some of the backstory was just, you know, it was so well done. The, you know, the attack on Mandalore as like a shadowy backstory was really well done. We had a Vizsla basically trying to take the Darksaber off, and you kind of knew that was coming, but you didn't think it was coming in that episode away. And, you know, that was a nice little kind of battle as well. And just even when the AN-1 Starfighter shows up, at first I think, oh, there's the rumor that we, you know, we heard from Bespin Bulletin, so that's true. But meh, I'm not impressed. It's just a rundown. But by the time they finish souping it up, you know, I kind of like it, you know, when I'm on board and I'm thinking, yeah, this ship's pretty cool, you know. Yep. And they do a good job by saying, this is a bit different by showing it just outperforming, you know, the X-Wing starfighters and all that. You know, basically, let's just not talk about this. Let's go back and not fill out any paperwork. It was cool.
The only thing that I wish with the N1 starfighter scene when he's flying it was that, and this is just me wanting more, was that, like, have some pod racers come in all of a sudden, like him, like, going against the pod racers and stuff like that.
See, that's what you call going too far, Mike.
Dude,
see,
that's I'm not saying, like, he actually, like, races it, but, like, you just see it in the background or something, like a pod race going on and stuff. Because, I mean, that's what was going on.
One thing that was surprising, because there's a lot of the Phantom Menace Easter eggs in this. And, you know, Kyle and I don't like the Phantom Menace. We don't like it at all.
Garbage. Straight trash.
I loved all the little Easter eggs in this.
Another man's garbage is another man's treasure, you know.
They were done in a way that was well done. Yeah. There was nothing too much, and it was just little touches.
I'm just saying, it would have been cool, like in the background scene or something, where you see a little couple pod racers going.
I expected to see some pod racer parts. I didn't expect to see any.
Or when he does the spin, racers. He's like, now this is pod racing.
Oh, God. Yeah. Shut up.
Could you imagine the charge?
Get the fuck out of
going to do the spin.
Hey, I'll try spinning. That's a good trick. Try spinning. That's a good trick. I think the wizard line was enough. That was just on the edge. I was just in the edge, and that no more. You know.
Yeah. Anywho, we can't ignore the fact that Cam and I are definitely a bit more buzzy about this episode than any of the others. Did this hurt the Book of Boba Fett in the way of showing what it kind of isn't? Not, and I don't mean like Fett being a badass killer. I'm not talking that, but the pacing, the excitement, the solid flow, and all of that. You know, that's what I'm kind of saying. Does this, on a more technical and slight net narrative scale, does it kind of make the previous four episodes, that does it hurt them at all? Shocky?
So, a little bit for Boba Fett. I still am intrigued by the story of where it's going. Yeah. I think we discussed this on the Slack channel, is that now that I understand that Book of Boba Fett is going to be multiple seasons, I have a different view on it. The way that it was first put out there, it seemed like this was a one-shot, you know, one-time deal. And so to me, I'm like, you wasted seven episodes on this. But where it really, like, impressed me, or, like, I don't know, like, it made me appreciate Mando more, because I think the biggest complaint about season two, at least the back half of season two, was that it was more fan service with Bo-Katan, Ahsoka, like all the little drops. It was more like, it wasn't a Din Djarin story anymore. It was the, you know, you had the Cara Dune episode, you had the Ahsoka episode, you had the Bo-Katan episode. So, you know, some fans kind of felt like they got away from
the Mayfield episode with Mayfield and Mando, and that's just the two of them, and it is all Mando, you know. That is Mando's episode, you know. And
so, like, this episode right here, like, it went back to that. It was you know, pretty much Mando. I mean, there was no Grogu, no, you know, Cara Dune, or any, you know, Bo-Katan, or you had the armor from the original season one, and then you had the mechanic from season one.
Went right back to the roots.
Exactly. It went back. So now it's like, I'm almost like really excited to see where season three is going to go, you know, and where that journey for Din Djarin is now, because it's basically, does he go to Grogu and meet with Luke and get trained in the Darksaber there? Or does he go to Mandalore first and go, you know, redeem himself, you know? Or is it that... is he come to a fork in the crossroads where he's got to decide, do I stay on the path of, you know, Grogu and not be true to his clan anymore and not following the way? Or does he, you know, leave all that and go to Mandalore and, you know, and go and redeem himself that way? So for Boba Fett, it didn't hurt it. I think it was, like, to me, it was a good pause. Like, okay, let me get back to what I appreciated on this. And so now we've got these last two episodes. I know that there's going to be multiple, you know, at least another season of Boba Fett. So now I'm intrigued. And then with Mando, it's like, okay, now I want to see where season three is going, because the way season two ended, it was like, it was a not necessarily even a cliffhanger. It's just, we see Grogu leave and then that's it. It's over. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what Din Djarin had planned or anything. So yeah, this was a very good episode to for both cases, in my opinion.
What about you, Cam? Do you think it kind of hurts or makes the last episodes?
I can understand why some people might think that, because I think it looks better, right? Mm-hmm. So it looks just a bit more polished, you know, than just Tatooine all the time. Maybe that's what it is. You know, it was the first time we got off Tatooine. Things like the Ring World were just, you know, something we've not seen in Star Wars before, but something you expect to see in Star Wars, kind of like you would imagine that, yeah, you would have them in the Star Wars universe, that would be there. And at the same time, it was just looked cool. We had some new aliens, which I've not come across, and yet they just felt absolutely at home in the Star Wars universe. There's so many little things like that, I think, going for this that maybe wasn't quite there. And but I think the thing for me is, what I realised is Boba Fett is a set-up show, right? You know, it's like the lead-in to what's coming, and that's the way all these shows are going to go. We know now this is all kind of, they're all going to link together. You know, we were the first ones to say this was going to happen, but since then I've had, you know, confirmation that these are shows that are all connected, and it's all building up with different people's stories coming ahead at different points. I now think, you know, in terms of the two episodes we've got left, I don't think we'll have some big, massive climax to the Boba Fett. I think what we'll have is a semi-climax almost. And then, you know, maybe just like a tease of what's more to come, almost a cliffhanger. So, you know, like we were talking, well, LRM had said, you know, Cad Bane's going to be in this. I'm now starting to think he won't even turn up till the very last episode, and it'll be just like, who's really, he'll be part of whoever's really just behind all this. Mm-hmm. And that'll say, you know, there's far more of this story to come, and it'll involve all these characters. But next, we're going to go to Mando season three, and then after that, we're going to Ahsoka, which will build all into this as well. And then at some point, we're going to come back to Boba Fett again and pick up that little bit of story. And I think eventually we'll start to get more and more of these crossing over at a time as well, until it builds up. And I think that's what this episode showed us, what Book of Boba Fett season one is, you know?
Yeah, I guess. And if you can wrap your mind around it, but think if this episode didn't come in to remind you of it, I guess what I'm really interested in what episodes 6 and 7 will be like, because if they go right back to very similar to, you know, the first four. Then you kind of have to look at it as, if this didn't happen, would you have been as satisfied? Or, you know what I'm kind of saying? This episode puts things in context.
Just took it out and put together, would it work?
And that's not me trying to find a negative here. It's just one of those curiosities of, is it really good if it doesn't stand on its own somewhat? It's something Jammer asks about, like Infinity War sometimes. And I don't think it's an absolute. I think some things that are heavily dependent on others can be really good, but if it's not good on its own and it depends on something else for content, I don't know, it's kind of weird.
It's complete thing, right? And we're only, you know, two-thirds of the way through it, if you like, at the moment, right?
I'm thinking
we need to see the entire piece come together in order for us to be able to say, you know, did it fit in and did it not, and could you have took it out, and would it have worked together? I think, you know, until we make that judgment. On you go, Mike.
I'm thinking when this is all said and done, we're going to look back on it, and from my perspective is that I think the structuring of Book of Boba Fett should have been a two-part, like, you know, one two-hour long movie, part one, and another two-hour part two. Not saying that there's going to be an ending to this, but I'm not going to sit there and go rewatch episodes one and two really that much. There's not really a whole lot there that, unless 6 and 7 blow my mind and be like, oh my God, the like a M. Night Shyamalan, like where I have to go back and rewatch that Bruce Willis was literally dead the whole time and I did not see that, like, and I have to go rewatch all that. I'm not going to go back and see episodes 1, 2. I'll maybe see 3 again, you know, to set up for 4 and 5. But really, that's, yeah, it, to me,
you, I think, probably would go back and watch this episode on its own again because it,
well,
does,
when Mando season 3 comes out, I'm going to watch this one. I'm going to, like, I'm going to go back and watch this one when Mando season 3. So I'm like, okay, I got to remember where Din Djarin's at and what's he,
I mean, it doesn't. The we all had some issues with some of the earlier episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
There was some good, there was some bad.
Right. I'm not saying it's a horrible show or anything. I just think the Disney executives are trying to push this whole, like, we need an episode a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the structure of it should have been a four-hour movie in three episodes.
So, like,
or that,
two episodes, which is just the what we've saw so far, then one episode that's just the Mando episode that we saw, and then another movie length episode to wrap it all up at the end. Yeah. It would have actually been a really cool new thing that they've not done before, and I do think they need to play with that stuff more.
They really do.
But at the moment, I think the problem is there's not enough content in Disney Plus that they need it to stretch out over the weeks. Eventually, once, you know, the pandemic's all over and they've got more and more shows on the go at the same time, I think they will be able to experiment more with that stuff.
By then.
Maybe.
But I think there was a point that I wanted to make. Fuck. Shit. We were sitting here talking about the seasons, it being together crap. It went away, guys.
Oh, you remember it.
It went away. Yeah, probably at some point later. I think we should just take a word from our sponsors.
That's what I was just going to say. I think we should just take a word from our sponsors.
Take it away, guys.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. The Grow Generation commercial team is armed with industry-leading professional consultants. Grow Generation's team will help you fully manage any size or scale project. They offer turnkey facility designs, cultivation room design, and on-site project consultation. Go to www.growgeneration.com where the pros go to grow.
Mando helmet with little slits for his ears to come out and stuff.
Because
remember,
really,
she kind of crystal up into those little ringlets. And then the ringlets.
It might be like a, I bet it's a necklace with a little ball on it. Yeah.
You see, that's what I was thinking.
That's
was
armor.
Like he was going
to
make.
It needs to
make...
be armor. Not a jewel.
I know she's something to protect him. Like,
we're going to see Grogu
mentally,
up
emotionally protect. I don't know.
And Beskar chainmail on.
Think
and
Grogu
will grow a mohawk like Spike and Gremlins.
Dude, that would be awesome.
And he'll just be a badass, you know, like a Mando Jedi. You know, he will be Tar Vizsla. And he'll roll up Mando.
There we go.
Oh my
God.
Imagine Grogu trying to hold the Darksaber.
Well, depending on the aging and shit, everyone's kind of gonna be like, well, where the fuck were you when Kylo Ren was running around doing shit, you know, unless he's killed before.
They'll explain that by either.
But how old could
he
be?
You
know?
I don't know. I don't really think
the canon is whatever it
needs to be. I think it'll probably be Din Djarin that'll end up. You know, haven't he? That'll be his story, haven't he? Unite Mandalore in some way.
Yeah.
But I don't know what will happen with Grogu.
So, what's up?
You go ahead, Kyle.
I was going to say the audience here is talking about Grogu's, you know, gift from the Mandalorian, from Din Djarin. And it just kind of, it reminds you of how invested we are in that creature's life, Grogu's life, and yet also how hungry we are to go see other stories not involving Grogu with the Mandalorian. And it's kind of weird to spend so much time talking about Din when we're, you know, reviewing Book of Boba Fett, but I'm kind of more interested in the Mandalorian like hierarchy, the leadership and what they want to do with their people and planet and all the separate factions.
Yeah.
And I got a feeling that Grogu's not going to be a big deal going into season 3, but yeah. I kind of almost wish we weren't seeing him or hearing about him at all this season, maybe like in passing, like, hey, how's the kid? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But I think that's going to be the conflict in season 3 of Din Djarin. I think you got to have some sort of conflict, because if there's not a tie to
maybe
Grogu,
some life from Luke.
Yeah. Then he's on his path to Mandalore, and there's nothing to
fulfill his destiny. All that sort of shit, you know. Pick the hard path.
So I think I agree with you.
You can do it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Kyle. Like, we don't need to see really Grogu anymore. Like for a while. But
who knows where Grogu's story can go? Grogu's story can go off in a different direction. Where Ahsoka's is going, and what's happening with Luke during this period of time. So there's lots of different things. Like if this is like a Game of Thrones thing, it's not just about one character.
Correct.
If Mando's the Jon Snow, you know, you've still got the Jaime Lannisters and Daenerys Targaryens and Cersei Lannisters. All these people, this arcs go all the way through multiple seasons.
Really wanna... Luke and Leia, the Lannisters.
Mike just called Luke and Leia Lannister. We're making the Game of Thrones reference to talking to my wife.
There we go.
The side. Do we really want to follow Arya Grogu, you know, little like as our tie in between all the different houses? I don't even want that. And,
but that's a moneymaker for
it's a money. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, you can kind of see it, right?
Kind of
see
the character if they get them talking and mature.
It could be okay.
Know.
Give him a lightsaber. There's a new action figure right there.
Oh God! Do you remember the last time a Yoda species touched a lightsaber? It was awful.
Yeah, but they'll do it better now.
Does he do cartwheels? Does Grogu do cartwheels?
Hopefully not. Hopefully not. So I don't really know where to take the review from. I mean, did you guys have?
What do you think about you kind of mentioned this in the talking about stuff, but like Gripes. Mandalore, like the you looked at it, it's more like Terminator scene. To me, that was better than Terminator. Seeing the K2 droids walking around, bam, and the TIE bombers going over and blowing up.
I was
more afraid of that than the actual like Terminator scenes.
I liked it all. But like I said, as soon as you see that they're using the K2 droids instead of stormtroopers or even some sort of battle droid, dark troopers, even because the K2s have that skull similarity. I was just like, come on, really? Like, I loved her.
That
I love Terminator
sense,
as well.
You know, it'll be a rough environment, you know.
Yeah.
I like
to just send the droids in to finish off.
But there were battle droids and other things to use.
I think that's the seed though for Andor. Because remember, we
see more of that in Andor. Absolutely,
right, exactly.
Those droids doing that.
Do you guys want all of this to connect to Mandalore? Like.
I don't think it connects to Mandalore. That's not necessarily the story connecting.
Because remember, a reminder of the
K2.
If we see it in the past, even though we've saw it in the future, it cements it as something
because
we won't use for. Because you've only seen it in Rogue One, and you know, it's a different.
Like I said, it's a reminder.
Right. And it kind of gives us the idea of the like where K2SO is at, because remember, like from the reports, Andor season 1, there is no K2SO just yet. So you know, Alan Tudyk saying he's not a part of it. So maybe this is where we kind of get that same visualization of Andor in a different place, not on Mandalore, but you know, how he maybe at the very end of the season or whatever.
Given
how
the set photos we've seen, I think it'll be that beach assault scene where they attack that beach and there's there's stormtroopers and droids and they look as if they're just wiping civilians out. You know, that's what it looked like from the set photos that were filmed in Britain.
Because the K2s are used in terrain that the stormtroopers couldn't go into. That's basically what the K2s
I just think Favreau's a big fan of Terminator. I think it's all
awesome. I
Terminator.
Love that. That fine. Visualization. Yeah,
I'm just saying, like, I'm not knocking it. I'm probably saying it looks badass.
That was apocalyptic.
I think it's just,
I've got another
Terminator.
Thing to bring up about Grogu, right? And, you know, that new Naboo and N1 Starfighter, they've took away the droid port. Yeah.
Yeah.
Could
well,
you
I,
see Grogu going in that droid port at some point? We see him looking out as the...
I knew that, and that's kind of why I asked about the previous stuff, like, you know, do you guys
kind
of want to get away?
That Grogu and Mando get pushed back together for some reason. We don't know. There could be a perfectly good reason for it
there
already built into the story.
It could land, but, you know, like, we saw a good, I think that's a good beginning, middle, and end story for those two together. I really do. Like, honestly, I feel... If Din didn't see Grogu for 20 years, like I don't feel like I would be unfulfilled. Like I
understand.
Feel like their story was good, and while it could still be a good story, while it could be a good story going forward, it's kind of like because of everything else that's keeping me stuck in the past. It's one of those where I'm like, okay, guys, this is literally just two years old. We don't have to stay in this point already,
do we? That's like reading the first two books in a 9-book series and thinking, right, we don't need to see that character that was really important again. Now, if there's a valid story reason for that, you know, that character goes off into its own spin-off book somewhere, then that's fine. But that doesn't necessarily make sense. It makes sense in a traditional seasonal TV, right? We're done with that story. There's a new story for Mando now. And then when we're finished with that story, there'll be a new story for Mando. But if this is one big story and it's making an ensemble piece of series that tell one concise story, then we have to wait and see because it could be that Grogu, as always in the mind of Favreau and Filoni, had a very important part to play in this later on.
Maybe. And I guess it's also because I look at, you know, the Empire Remnant and First Order already have the genetic material. Like, they already secured that. That's done and over with. Din completed his mission of seeing Grogu safely to the Jedi. I don't necessarily mind the continuation of Grogu's journeys away from Mandalorian, because of those two points there, I'm like, he's, as far as I can tell, everything that they have shown and set up has paid off, and we don't need him in their story anymore. Use him in Star Wars, 100%, you know,
Luke and Grogu
Young
show.
Jedi, you know, Young Jedi Adventures show or something with him training at the academy with other young Jedi.
But then
sure.
You also have the uncanny valley to deal with to do with Luke Skywalker. That's difficult to do without, as you and I have talked about before, Kel, previously,
animation.
You either
recast
or you make an animation and get Mark Hamill to voice it. But would an animated story that's connected to all these live action shows work?
Yeah, because the Clone Wars did it and Rebels did it.
But they
weren't really connected to live action shows that were running at that time. They were just connected to the live action films.
Oh, yeah, that could be the like where we have a gap with Grogu's story. You know, once all this is done, once all Mando's story is told, then you could say, all right, here's an animated show of Luke and Grogu at Luke's Jedi
Academy. If it's a separate thing, that's what I'm saying. I would be quite happy to see that. But if it's integral that we need to see.
I don't want it to be integral.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen,
like,
Kyle wants to see a mechanic Jawa show. That's where he wants to see the love story between the mechanic and the Jawa.
Look,
like,
I want
to
see what's under the Jawa hoods and the furry.
Supposedly it's furry, so.
I can't even get that close because it doesn't auto-focus anymore. I want to know something, okay? There is something weird with Hollywood and Star Wars. Is people working on Star Wars wanting to do interspecies stuff? It's odd. It's odd.
Every sci-fi
is really,
always
really
odd. Star Trek, Babylon 5.
Babylon 5 was
done it. They all do it.
Well, hold on. Here's the thing. It did exist in the EU. Even Twi'leks were notoriously used as sex slaves. They're very upfront about that. There's a I can't remember her name, but she was a Jedi. She wasn't enslaved when she was young. Gets Jedi powers later on. Does a mission with Lando during the Vong Wars, I believe. Mission goes off great. She's like, so you want to head back and celebrate? And he's like, oh, well, no, I'm married. And she's like, and so like that existed, but the hybrid, like babies and stuff, that didn't. Mike Stackpole in the Rogue Squadron book did a really great piece about a bot and a human getting in a relationship. So I'm not again.
Which like they always put in Star Trek. One thing that annoyed me about Star Trek, because any time you had an interspecies, you know, they always ended up having to have a half species kid.
Yeah,
and
no,
I thought, that's not
weird.
That's kind of not the definition of the word species.
Yeah.
The definition of the word species is that if you may be able to have offspring with something, but if that offspring itself is infertile, it's a different species.
Yeah.
Hence,
donkey. It's just one of those things. And also, generally, they try to put humanoid species together. This Jawa thing was hilarious.
Wow, it took me for a loop there. Funny. I had to wake up at 4:30 a.m. to watch the show because I had such a busy day. And I'm like watching it, and when that line came out that she dated a Jawa, I'm like, whoa, it's too early in the morning for this type of stuff.
Oh man. Anyways, let's go ahead and do the grading of this episode. And we kind of just have to, like Cam said, it's part of the book of Boba Fett. You kind of have to grade it as an episode on its own. Cam, what do you got?
A+. Easy. It's an easy A+ for me all day long.
Shockey.
Yeah. A+. It hit all of the major check boxes.
Yeah, I'll give it an A plus, even because, like I said, I understood where and why the exposition happened. Yeah, no, right, and it executed what it needed to do without annoying me. Even something that was very earth, and there was another thing, and I can't remember what it is right the thrust capacitor. Like
the thrust capacitor.
I was like, flux capacitor. Nice guys.
That's just the way your mind goes. Clearly, thrust is a completely different word from flux.
Thrust capacitor. Come on, Cam.
Actually, thrust capacitor makes more sense than flux capacitor.
Well, yeah, no shit, but. Not even whenever you hear capacitors, you're thinking electronics, which might help regulate thrust, but not like an actual device. You just call it a capacitor.
Yeah,
it's gonna fuck with the electronics.
It connects to the foo-foo valve.
Oh man, I guess we could go over just a quick few news, but well, actually, a point that you brought up before the news, Cam, you had said about Cad Bane and what you thought when he might come in, and Mike had last episode say he thought episode 6, because that's Filoni's episode, and YouTubers have mentioned that, but. I do agree with you that we're not going to see like a resolution of Cad.
I don't think we're going to see Fett like Bane versus Fett here or anything like that. No.
Yeah. So
I think that. So we haven't really heard much of the Pikes, like in regards, because we hear is Boba's building up his army to go up against the Pikes. We could see, there's no way Cad Bane joins the side of Boba Fett because we just know the history behind those two. So. And we already know that there's, history between both Cad Bane and Fennec Shand. So I think that we'll see. That's the only logical, alpha bounty hunter to go up against Boba Fett.
Okay, I agree, that makes sense to me, yeah.
The Pikes are going to hire Cad Bane to...
Although I'm still
I think the Pikes
not,
are knowledgeable, like, know what's going on.
But I'm still not convinced the Pikes are working on their own, but they could be because they're a powerful enough organization absolutely to do that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I have a sneaky suspicion there's more to come.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out in seven short days. They did just announce yesterday, they being Lucasfilm and their partners with EA, some new games being worked on. The next game in the Jedi Fallen Order series. So people are excited about that, pointing to the droid even in this episode that reminded them.
Yeah, it was
Cal
a BB droid. Kestis
is yep, BB.
Droid.
Mm-hmm.
A new first person shooter. Some people are all but hurt because it won't necessarily be another Battlefront.
Well,
I think it is.
Apparently, the studio that made Battlefront isn't getting it. Everything's been given to Respawn, apparently. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
but that doesn't mean changing studios, changing because it's still an in-house production overall.
Mm-hmm.
You could change the production. And development
yeah.
studios.
It's like Batman Arkham Studios.
Yeah. I'm just going by what I've kind of read online.
Yeah,
from the rumor people, and that's they're hinting
yeah.
no Battlefront.
Exactly.
You know, so.
Well, that was from DICE made that. So DICE Studios, who made Battlefront 1 and 2, the most recent ones, they basically said they're done with Battlefront and they're continuing on and doing the next Battlefield game and stuff. So I think that it was. You got to remember too, DICE was, you know, it was responsible for the horrible launch of Battlefront 2 and the whole loot crate thing and,
yeah.
and all that.
Games as a service everyone seems
yeah.
to want now.
So I think
along
Respawn,
with NFTs.
I don't see any other I mean, you could do a bounty hunter game like they did with 1313 that they were planning on doing, but when you're talking about first person shooter, it's Battlefront, like that's the bread and butter right there.
Dark Forces.
Yeah, I think you could do Dark Forces, but I. Yeah, didn't they just re-release them on
campaign.
Nintendo Switch and stuff?
I think so. Like a legit traditional first person shooter campaign stuff. You know, Half-Life, Dark Forces,
yeah, yeah.
original Doom. Doom has still got. Not a very
yeah.
story-driven, but a single-person driven campaign.
Halo.
You
know,
I think that's what Jedi
Halo,
Fallen Order,
Halo,
though, is.
Halo?
But I think
well,
that's
third-person action-adventure.
That's third-person. That's more RPG build-up.
Yeah,
stats,
I'm
fight,
talking
you know,
like straight-up
bad guys.
But what I'm talking about like is I understand the difference in the game, but when you're talking about doing that single-player campaign
yeah.
and that story, that's what Fallen Order gives you, while Battlefield is just... good old-fashioned
yeah.
fun joining it, you know, with a bunch of 50 other people and go
and,
blow each other
and
up.
To your credit, if you do another, you know, multiplayer where you've got different modes and stuff and it's not called Battlefront, why? you know, why?
Right, exactly. Yeah, why would you
name?
Change the name? Yeah.
So I was just bringing up the fact that there is a way to do another
this
style first-person shooter,
yeah.
but, you know, like
true,
you pointed
yeah.
out,
gotcha.
Those don't always do the best either, you know, and
the strategy game is what intrigues me.
That's what I wanted to, you know, mention because I still boot up Star Wars Rebellion. I liked
mm-hmm.
the Star Wars Battlegrounds, which was Age of Empires 2
yep.
with a Star Wars mod, basically.
Mm.
And then, or maybe it was Age 1, but it was a legit full game. Star Wars Battlegrounds. Everything, harvesting, building base, militaries.
Yep.
And then, of course, Empire at War was the other famous RTS. I love RTS. Whole
yeah,
World,
I'd
StarCraft. Like, oh,
yes.
my God.
I can't go with them.
So I'm excited about it. Hopefully it's not I don't know anything about this bit reactor. I just it's not gonna be any type of crappy mobile or game as a service strategy like a Genshin
yeah,
Impact.
I don't think it's
fucking
mobile,
shit.
Yeah.
I hope not. So
no,
but,
well, mobile they've besides Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, they've really struck out like EA has on mobile Star Wars games and all types of strategies, whether it was card based. Like Galaxy of Heroes is the only one that
is they're all just people
survived the test
crap.
Of time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't want that. I hope it's not. I hope it's really, really not that. But yeah, Mike, anything else big in the news? Oh, the whole funny bit about Tamir Morrison wanting to reduce the dialogue.
Yeah. Jesus. I don't agree with him on this, actually. You know, it's his opinion and that's absolutely fine. But, you know, I think I'd say to you, you know, in Slack and stuff like that, I can't remember, but I remember talking about it anyway, that to me, you know, that's the impression that people had in their heads of what Boba Fett was. He was the cool Mando guy that just didn't speak and, you know, shot first and asked questions never because he didn't say anything. You know, that all we've got to base that on is some very brief appearances within the OT, and some of our readers, you know, were arguing with me and saying, "Ah, you're missing this and you're missing that." You know, it's all opinions at the end of the day. But to me, this is who Boba Fett is because this is the first time they've actually tried to show us who Boba Fett is. So I don't really have a preconceived conception of what he must be in my head, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it. Anyways, guys, I think that should. Oh, Mike, did you have any?
One last thing.
Sure. Question. Alibi.
Captain Teva, who's the X-Wing pilot.
Uh-huh.
What type of dude is everywhere? Think about it. That guy what? Was in all different planets so he's a ranger, right?
Yeah.
Think about how many different planets has this guy been a ranger on and always running into Mandalorian. What are the odds of that happening? Like I understand it's just funny writing and always having him be the guy who runs into Mando and stuff. But yeah. I was like, damn, don't you guys like as a cop have like a section where you patrol and stuff? This guy is patrolling the entire galaxy.
Did you notice that the new pilot that was with him is actually the guy who played Luke Skywalker at the end? Obviously superimposed.
Yes.
You didn't see his face, but when you watched the BTS,
ugly wig on him.
He actually was the one.
They put an ugly wig and a helmet to try to cover it up and everything. But yeah.
Nice. All right, guys. Be sure to
Teva.
I dig that type of stuff. That comedy fits in well in my mind. All right, guys. LRMonline.com and genreverse.com are the websites. Go there every day. All your entertainment news needs and opinions are available there. Access to the interviews, our podcasts, all there as well. The podcast networks wherever you get your podcast from, Apple, Google, Spotify. Great shows like Anime Versal Reviews doing Sabikui Bisco, crazy fucking mushroom rocket toting hippos. It's anime. And then the Daily Cup of Genre. It's been a little rough this week because we've been busy, but hey, it's there. We love doing it. Christine and I have a lot of fun doing that. Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, all that and more also go up on our new Genreverse podcast channel on YouTube. So hit the subscribe button, follow, leave some comments, feedback, tell us what we could do better, what we're doing good, and all of that. Social media information is down below. I'm at that Colin Malone on Twitter. Cam, what do you want to say?
You can get me at LRM_Cam. Obviously, check out LRMonline.com at the moment. We're trying to cover all the best scoops, rumors, casting news, delays, release dates, trailers, whatever is the biggest things that we think that you want to read. That's what we're trying to cover. So if there's anything you want us to cover more on the site, or anything like that at all, please reach out to me. Tell me what kind of content you want to see, and we will do our best to see if we can provide it.
Shockey.
Yeah, you guys can find me at LRM_Shockey. And yeah, just if we could really appreciate, we really appreciate the reviews, preferably 5 stars. But yeah, we'll take whatever we can. You know, so it helps us out.
Yes, indeed. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening this week. We'll talk to you next time. May the Force be with you.